43:16-19. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters? Who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior? They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is the word of God for the people of God. The second scripture is from Philippians 3:12-14, pressing towards the goal. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have laid hold of it, but one thing I have laid hold of, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal, toward the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Some of you met my mom the last time she visited. I'm not even sure what month it was, but some of you met her, and she often worships with us online. And so she knew that we were doing this series on the way, and she's a retired teacher, and so she did her Googling and YouTube searching and found a documentary on the Camino. And the documentary that she found is narrated by Kristen and her husband, Peter. They sold everything, they moved out of their house or their condo, and they went on this journey for 6 to 8 weeks. And as they walked to the Camino, they met a woman named Laura. And similarly to what happens with Tom and the characters in the film, The Way, they run into Laura multiple times along their journey. At one point, Laura says to them, "Don't forget to look behind you. We're always looking ahead, but look behind you. Look at how far you've come." When we set goals for ourselves, we keep our eyes on the prize, as Paul says, and that is very, very important. But as we move toward the goal, as we continue on the journey, it's also helpful to think about what we've conquered or let go of as we took steps forward. The prophet Isaiah and the apostle Paul both speak of the way forward with God. God is making a way in the wilderness for the Israelites. God is doing a new thing. And Paul understands that those who follow Jesus Christ, that we are a new creation. When we experience growth and transformation, we often leave something behind. We leave what no longer serves us, or something else, a relationship perhaps, as we move forward freely. We lay our burdens and our old ways down so that God may do a new thing in us. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I remember years ago when I was serving as the associate pastor in Geneva, I was having a milestone birthday. I think I was turning 35. I realize that that does not seem like a milestone birthday, but at the time it seemed like a big deal to me. And there was a woman in my Bible study class, in Disciple Bible Study, and she said, "You know, once I made it to my 40s, it was a new day. I felt liberated. I no longer felt like I needed to care about what other people think of me. I really feel like I can just totally be myself." I've never forgotten her words. It can still be a challenge for me sometimes to think that way, but she had clearly let go of a burden, the burden of needing to be liked. And it was incredibly freeing for her. Last week I talked about expectations and the call to come home to who we are. This week is similar, but we're focusing on letting go of burdens in order to move forward. In the movie The Way, there is a scene at a large cross surrounded by rocks. You can't quite see the cross in the photo, but there's this large, large pole, and then at the very top, there's an iron cross. It kind of blends in with the sky. But in the movie, Tom, Yost, Sarah, and Jack all take a stone that they had been carrying as they walked the Camino. They take it out of their packs or their pocket, and they say a prayer as they leave the stone at the foot of the cross. This is common practice among those who walk the Camino. You can tell from the huge, huge pile that hundreds and hundreds of people have done this, that they release a stone when they arrive at this place on the journey. This act symbolizes letting go of whatever burden with which they began the journey. It isn't a call to forget the past and what has happened or who we were before, but we have to acknowledge that there has been a change, that we don't stay in the same place. We move forward because God is always doing a new thing in us. For the Israelites, God does a new thing when he calls Moses to lead them out of Egypt. The Israelites had been living under the thumb of Pharaoh as slaves. And even though that was not a good place to be, they were used to it. They were used to that way of living and behaving. And so even though they didn't like it, they were given the basic necessities needed to survive. You may remember the grumbling in that story that occurred in the wilderness. They were never happy. The Israelites didn't feel safe or secure. Life was not pleasant in the midst of slavery, but they knew what to expect. The Israelites needed to release the burden of slavery under Pharaoh, under those old ways, and embrace the covenant of love and the law from God. The thing is, this act of letting go of old patterns and what held them back was a pattern for the Israelites for centuries. In our passage from Isaiah, the Israelites are living in exile in Babylon, a consequence of not following God's ways once again. But in the midst of exile, living away from their spiritual home of Jerusalem and the homeland from which they had been exiled, Isaiah says that God will make a way. God will make a way out of this experience of exile. God will lay down another road to the sacred city and land of God's people. They will be free again. Similarly, Paul speaks from prison about the future. He's been arrested because of his beliefs. He had the audacity to declare loyalty to God in Christ Jesus, not to Caesar. And Paul wants all the other Jesus followers to stay committed to Jesus' new pathway despite whatever persecution they may face. Obeying and loving God, staying accountable and loving one another in Christian community, living a life in Christ, living with the resurrection at the forefront of their minds, knowing that death is never the last word. Neither is persecution or prison the last word. That was what they needed to keep at the forefront. That was the prize. And knowing all of this can move them to a freedom in Christ. Martin Luther King's words keep coming to my mind. Free at last. Free at last. We're moving to the promised land. Jesus makes a way. God makes a way, even in the worst of circumstances. God is making a way in the wilderness. God is doing a new thing for God's people. And additionally, Christ frees us from the past so that we can look to the future with hope and the promise of new life. We all have had those times in our life when we have felt lost or burdened by the load of poor decisions or things over which we had no control. All of us respond differently in these situations. Some of us are able to let go of those experiences, let go of the pain we're carrying around, and just keep moving forward. For others, the burden of trauma is real and seems almost impossible to leave behind. This week in the news, we heard about several women who came forward and told their story of being abused by labor organizer Cesar Chavez, some of them who were minors at the time. Simply speaking aloud of the trauma they experienced from a man who abused his power is a step in being free. From the secrecy, from the shame, from the power the abuser had in their lives. The abuse they endured will always be a part of their story. It has been a part of what has made them who they are today. But healing is only possible when the burden of the story is shared. And listening to the story, hearing the story, is our way of being in solidarity with them, with anyone who has experienced harm. I don't know if you watched any of the Winter Olympics or not, or what sports you enjoy, but even if you didn't watch them, you probably heard about the figure skater Alyssa Liu. Liu won the women's gold medal, only having come back to figure skating a couple of years ago. She was a child prodigy, the youngest U.S. national champion ever at the age of 13. But after her Olympics debut, I think she was 16 at that time, she suddenly quit skating. She was depleted. She was completely burned out. Liu said upon her return to skating that she would only do it on her terms. She was going to skate and compete because she finds joy in it. She wasn't going to come back to make anyone else happy but herself. And the joy she had in her skating after her hiatus allowed her to excel. She didn't feel any pressure because winning was not her goal. Liu was able to unburden herself from the insane expectations that others had of her at a very young age. She let them go and she simply enjoyed her life. Her experience during her hiatus of climbing Mount Everest, of doing downhill skiing, as well as attending UCLA, they were all part of what led her back to skating. She missed it, but she missed the joy of it. Her joyful, confident attitude, which we see, or if you watched her performance, her exhibition, her skate, her attitude was a result of freeing herself, letting go of the burdens, of the pressure that she had felt from others and probably herself. And that freedom on the ice actually led to the prize, to winning the gold medal. God is always doing a new thing. It may not be quite as dramatic for us, but God is doing a new thing in us, in the church, and in the world. At the same time, we have a little bit of a responsibility, don't we, to pay attention to where God is moving and accept the invitation to participate in that newness. God is continually calling us to work together to bring freedom to the oppressed. Yesterday, we were a satellite of the laity convocation, so it was streamed here in our sanctuary, so people didn't have to travel quite so far. And the bishop, yesterday morning, in his sermon, and he shared this with clergy at our Days Apart with him in February, he spoke of the importance of being in solidarity and helping to free the oppressed. There are so many people who are suffering because of the burden of poverty, of addiction, of racism, and other things as well. As a church, we can help relieve that burden. We can help lift that burden by working for justice, by writing letters to our politicians about programs that are important to help the poor, by providing a safe space here for many recovery groups, and having compassion and understanding of those who suffer from one of many addictions, alcohol or other drugs, food addiction, gambling, just to name a few. We can educate ourselves on the way racism in our country is so embedded that most of the time we're unaware of the impact that it has on people of color. Experiencing freedom from our own burdens, of course, is important in our own spiritual journey, but it's also important to support others and to help in whatever way we can to relieve their burdens, particularly of the way that systems have burdened people. You were given a stone at the beginning of Lent. If you don't have one yet, there's still some out in the narthex. But the stone is meant to symbolize something that you are carrying and would like to let go of. On Good Friday, at our worship service, you will have the opportunity to place your rock at the foot of the cross, or actually on the cross, as a way to symbolize how we literally release our burdens to Jesus. Maybe you haven't figured out what burden you're carrying. It could be something you are afraid of or that you would like to conquer. Perhaps you have a bad habit that seems to get in your way or isn't helping you. Maybe you have an inner critic that's continually delivering messages about your every move not being good enough. Or you could be in a relationship of some kind that isn't bringing you joy and new life. Not that everything in our life has to be wonderful all the time. But if something has been weighing you down for months or years and you really just need to hand it over to God, perhaps this time, this season, is an opportunity to do that. God can receive whatever it is you need to release. God will receive it, allowing you to experience the weight being lifted and the power of transformation in your life. Like the Israelites, like Kristen and Peter in the documentary, and Tom and his friends in the film, we all have parts of our past that we don't necessarily forget, but need to leave, need to release. It's only in doing that that we are able to move forward. God makes a way when we are unable to see a way. Christ takes the things that we carry and lightens the load so that we can heal and move into the future. We're nearing the end of this Lenten journey. Next weekend, we'll witness Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. And it will be the most challenging part of our journey. And yet, we've made it so far already. Resurrection does await us. It is the prize. So be set free from the burdens you carry by letting go and continue on the path that God has laid for you. This is good news. Amen.